I read of a young lady from Illinois, actually, graduated from school, moved away to California, got involved in church there, got to know some of the members, and they were going on a retreat. And out in the nature and all, they were walking down a trail, and being from the Midwest, she saw much of the plant life that was unfamiliar to her, and was asking questions, what is this, and what is that, and every once in a while there was someone there that would be able to tell her something about that, maybe a name or something of the sort, but she really didn't get too many answers to what she was asking. And I wonder what it would have been like had a botanist been along. You know, the people that were with her were ordinary people, and they really didn't take that much interest in the plant life. They saw some beauty in it or some function or something like that, but they could not go into the details because they had not investigated and they had not studied and they did not have the mind of curiosity to find out everything that they could about plant life like a botanist might be or might do. And as we think about that, we can make some comparisons to the lives of people today and the Word of God. How many of us have just an ordinary interest in the Word of God? I should not say how many of us, because you're here today, but how many people have just an ordinary interest? Are not like the botanist when it comes to the plant life, but just they would know a name here or there, or maybe the Bible is up on the shelf, gathering dust, or something of that sort. They know of the Bible. They might know a few names of the Bible, maybe even know a few books like Hezekiah and such. But they have not really investigated, like the botanist would investigate the plant life. We have an example here of some people who met in the synagogue when Paul was coming through on the first missionary journey. Had come from Thessalonica, and he is preaching now on the Sabbath day in the synagogue of Berea. And here are people that are described by the Holy Spirit through the hand of Luke as noble. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed. Acts 17, verses 11 and 12, the first part of verse 12. They are described as noble. And the word in the Greek indicates originally had the idea of noble birth, high birth, and we think of that. But also it came to mean noble-minded, high-minded, had that mind of high intellectual interest and ethics and characteristics. And, in fact, suggested an open mind, one that would be open to the evidence. And here, then, we find the Bereans were those who were considered noble-minded. And we see the reason that they are called noble-minded here in these two phrases. And those are the two phrases we want to look at because I think that we as Christians should want to be noble-minded when it comes to the Scriptures. That we would be like those Bereans. Like in all the lessons so far, we've been challenged to be like these that have great characteristics as Christians. And we need to apply these things. And the lesson, some of the lessons that we've looked at applying to leaders, and all this one, these are the Bereans. These are people that were learning, and these are people that were becoming Christians. This gets down to every one of us, no matter who we are. So there are two points. One, they were considered high-minded, noble-minded, open-minded, open to the evidence because they received the Word with all readiness of mind. The word received basically has the idea of they embraced that. They took it in for themselves. They would look at that and take that and accept it. The idea of being receptive. In fact, Vine says, receptive, they received with a ready mind. And what was it that they received? They received the Word that Paul was preaching. But we know what that word was. Paul preached the same thing at every place. And as he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, even though he was beaten there, he was stoned, and there were those who were converted. And later, as he wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he described that word. He said, to as he wrote to those Thessalonians, he said, and for this cause, we also thank God without ceasing. And then he goes on and says, when you receive from us the word of the message, even the word of God, ye accepted it. And there's that same Greek word, ye accepted it. Ye received it not as the word of men, but even as it is in truth, the word of God. And so here these Bereans were willing to receive the word of God. It was the word of God that they were looking at and studying as they thought of Paul's preaching. And then we find that they received it with a readiness of mind, a willingness. They were anxious to learn. In fact, I read that it literally means forward in mind. I pictured as I read this, I believe it was in Brother Wayne Jackson's commentary on Acts, stretching of the mind. And I pictured, if you would, the runner stretching out that he might be first at the tape. One who is anxious to be there. One who is anxious to learn, anxious to know. The Bereans are described as noble-minded because they were anxious. They were ready to receive the Word of God as they heard the preaching of Paul. As we think of this, we can see that the Bereans had great characteristics that we need to apply to our lives. Because one who has that readiness of mind to learn and to grow in knowledge, I'd like to think of a couple of passages from the Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14, I believe it is, we find that the wise man records there, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. The Bereans were of an understanding heart. They realized the need for knowledge, the desire for knowledge. They had an understanding heart. And in chapter 18 of Proverbs, verse 15, we find that there it's recorded, the prudent, or the heart of the prudent, getteth knowledge. And the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Here we find those who were wise and prudent because they were seeking, they were anxious to learn, they wanted that knowledge. Friends, we need to seek after, we need to desire the knowledge of God's Word. And then also we find in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4. No, 24, verse 5. I don't know why I taught math. Why am I getting the numbers mixed up here? But Proverbs 24, verse 5, we find that there that the wise man says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. The Bereans were those who desired knowledge. They were anxious to learn. They wanted to grow. They wanted the knowledge. They were wise, and they were increasing in might. We see the great characteristics. No wonder we find here people who were described as noble in mind. Now, I want to go to the reverse side. I'm going to make some application in a few moments, but there are so many in this world that are not noble-minded, that are not ready to receive, that are not willing and anxious to study and know God's Word. And we find examples in the Bible. For instance, the Hebrews, to whom the epistle was written to, were described in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 as of dull mind. The context there, we find that the writer says, and he was describing the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek. And he says of Melchizedek in verse 11, of whom we have much more to say, and hard of interpretation, seeing ye are become dull of hearing. The point is, he was saying that it's hard of interpretation, it's hard to understand, not because I can't communicate it to you, not because it is so hard to understand, but because you are dull of hearing, you are slow of hearing, you are sluggish of mind. And I don't think that it was a physical thing here. I don't think it was a mental thing here. I think it was a spiritual thing here, that they were slow of mind. And we find examples of those in the Word of God that I think they would be described as sluggish of mind. They were the opposite of the Bereans, who had a desire and anxious to learn. There are those who are slow of mind and sluggish. And there are different reasons. I think one reason can be found in John chapter 5, as Jesus had healed the man who had been at the pool of Bethesda. It was on the Sabbath. He was challenged because of what he had done. He was being persecuted because of what he had done. And he said of them in John chapter 5, verse 38, he said, "And ye have not his word abiding in you. For him for whom he sent, him ye believe not." Why is it that they did not have God's word abiding in them? Well, he explains in the next two verses, verses 39 and 40. He said, "Ye search the Scriptures because ye think that in them ye have eternal life, and these are they which bear witness of me. And ye will not come to me that ye may have life." Here are people who searched the Scriptures, but they were dull of mind. They would not accept those things. They had a prejudice because the Jews elevated the Scriptures and they elevated the temple, and they had their confidence not in God and in what was found in His Word, but the fact that they had His Word. They were His people. They had the temple. And they would search the Scriptures and they did not see the Messiah. There was the dullness of mind because of a preconceived idea. And how many times do we see those who have preconceived ideas and they are dull of mind? They are not like the Bereans. I remember studying with the husband of one of our members years ago. And we established, I think, I was trying to think back, and I believe at that time I was using the Ivan Stewart Open Bible Method, and we'd studied the first lesson and the Bible authority and establishing all that, and we were getting down to baptism. We looked at some Scriptures and all, and I was going through the passages of a burial and all like this, and we were talking about baptism being a burial, and it's an immersion, and you know, the man stood there all along. He had been shaking his head this way. And he said, "You know, I agree with that, but," and you know, when you hear that "but," you know there's something coming. And he said, "But I don't see anything wrong with sprinkling." And of course, that was his background. And so we went back and looked at the Scriptures and the authority and all, and he said, "I see what the Bible says. I agree. You're right. That's what it says. But preconceived ideas." He had a prejudice because he had been taught that all of his life, and his parents had been taught that, and his grandparents had been taught that. And there are those who have these prejudices against God's Word, and they're sluggish of mind. And then we find others that are sluggish of mind for various reasons. For instance, in John chapter 8, and going back to verse or chapter 7, we know that Jesus is going up to the Feast of the Tabernacles. He's going up in midweek because there are those who are seeking to kill Him. And in verse 37, He says of them, as He's teaching in the temple, He says of the Jews, "Ye seek to kill Me, because My word hath not free course in you." So here are those who are sluggish of mind. They will not accept God's Word. In fact, they just reject it completely. We might say more than being sluggish of mind. They just don't want to have anything to do with God's Word. They said, "I don't have room for that. I won't accept that." And He says a little bit later in verse 43, He says there, ye understand not My speech?" Or what? He asked the question, "Why do ye not understand My speech? Even because it is ye cannot hear My word." Did they not hear? Did they have a hearing problem? Well, not physically, but spiritually they did. They would not listen to His word. There are those who will not listen to the word of God. They have that dullness of mind, and they don't want to accept God's word. I think of what was said of the Jews as Stephen stood before the Sanhedrin council. And after he had given all this history in a nutshell, and he challenged them down about verse 51 of Acts chapter 7. He said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit." What did he mean by that? Well, we know that the Scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they would not accept the sacred writings. They would not accept the Scriptures of God's Word. They resisted God's Word. I picture them as the parable that Jesus gave, as the hardened ground where the Word could not take root. Now then, let's make application, though, to this point that we need to be receptive. We need to have a willing heart. As we think about that, I think of James chapter 1, verse 21, because there we find the same term, receive. James wrote, "Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." Friends, there is the reason that there is the need for the receptive heart, the willingness, the being anxious to learn, the zeal for learning, because it is that Word that is necessary for us to know God's Word and to be right in His eyes, to be saved. It's in that Word we find the answers to tell us how to become a child of God and to serve Him. That's why there's the need to be receptive and have a willing heart and an open heart, one that is open-minded to the evidence that is there. And of course, if one is going to be receptive, we know that that's going to lead to obedience. One is going to hear the evidence about Jesus being the Christ. One is going to look at the evidence about how one needs to turn away from his sins and be baptized into Christ. And with that open heart, he's going to have the mind that will obey. And of course, we know that Jesus became unto all them that obey Him the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. But on the other hand, those who have the dull mind and those who reject the Word of God, these are the disobedient. And of course, Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9, points out there that when He comes, He will come rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the knowledge. But now then, I would assume most everybody here are Christians. You have done that study. You've received the Word of God. You've been baptized into Christ. But we ought to realize, and that's what those Bereans were. They had just received. But we need to continue to receive. I think it was Don earlier mentioned 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We find there that as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Now, he's writing to Christians, is he not? And so, it's not that once you have received the Word of God and you become a child of God, that now then you can rest on your laurels and you sit back. But there's a continued growth. And we need to grow thereby unto salvation. We need to continue to have that receptive heart and the longing for knowledge, that we might have that understanding, that we might have an understanding and wise heart. But now then, just as important, maybe even more so, is that second phrase that was used by the Holy Spirit as He describes these noble-minded people of Berea. Examining the Scriptures daily. And the word examining indicates an investigation. Thoroughly questioning and scrutinizing. I understand that it was used as a legal term sometimes, indicating those who were making preparation to stand before the judge with all of the evidence. And so they would examine and scrutinize. Friends, we're going to stand before the judge one day. And we need to examine the evidence. And we need to scrutinize the evidence. They were examining the Scriptures. They did not have the New Testament as we have, of course. What Scriptures was it that they were examining? It would be those sacred writings that Paul refers to about Timothy. That from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. They had those. They were in the synagogue. They would read those each Sabbath day. But you know, it wasn't just a cursory reading, because notice it was they examined the Scriptures daily. Oh, how we need to do that. And when I say we, not the preachers, but all the brethren, all of us, we need to examine the Scriptures daily, and not just a cursory reading of God's Word, not satisfying my conscience by maybe reading a few verses every morning or every evening or something like that. But they were examining, investigating, scrutinizing the Word of God. And, you know, the thought just occurred to me a moment ago and had nothing to do with the lesson, but as I was doing some study on something a week or two ago, the young man that we have a program there where we hire someone right out of school and let him work with us for about 3 years to give him some practical experience. And he knows when he's hired that that's the purpose. In 3 years, he moves. Well, he can move on earlier. And I mentioned to the young man that was there, I said, you know, isn't it a joy to... You really begin to get into some of these things, and sometimes I'm studying and I get off on tangents because I see that little gem that's in the Word of God and I want to dig a little bit deeper, and it's just such a joy. Brethren, to examine and scrutinize God's Word just opens up, you know, it's like that botanist that sees that plant and he begins to examine, and it opens up a new world sometimes. But now notice, those of you who are not preachers, I'm bringing this to you now. Notice why they were examining the Scriptures. Brother Jeff mentioned this morning as we were talking. He didn't know, but I was thinking of the same thing. But he was talking about at camp, and when he was teaching, he would tell the children in his class to open the Bible and make sure that what he was reading was right. And then he went on to say, you know, the Bereans, they were doing that with the Apostle Paul. That's why they were examining the Scriptures. Examining the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. The things that the Apostle Paul, and it, now maybe they didn't realize and understand all there was to do about this man of God, this inspired man, but they must have seen something in him. But yet they didn't just accept what he had to say, did they? How many of our brethren sit in the pews, Bibles closed, just accepting what is being said? That's why we have denominationalism. Because there are those who just sit back and listen to the man of God before them. But friends, Jack was kidding about, you know, making mistakes. Well, if you get in the pulpit, you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to make mistakes everywhere. All of us do. And I'm fallible. Every preacher is fallible. And those of you who sit in the pews, you need to have your Bibles open. And you need to take your Bibles and read along. And you need to take them home and examine them daily. I appreciated so much a faithful lady in the congregation years ago before I started preaching full-time. I'd fill in here and there, and I did that for years before I decided that really I could serve God more and better by doing it all the time. And, of course, I was young then and didn't have quite the knowledge, and I mentioned a passage and made some comments about that, and it wasn't a damnable error or anything, but it had an incorrect point, and a good lady came up to me, and in all of her wisdom, she said, you know, I'd never thought of that verse like that. She said, I always thought this. I appreciated that lady so much, because later I went back and said, thank you. Thank you. You made me examine that a little bit. And that's what we need in the pews, people who will examine the Scriptures, not examine the preacher. Examine the Scriptures to see whether those things are so. Because, friends, when you stand before the judge, you will do so alone. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then each one of us shall... What's that verse? So then each one of us shall stand before him. Each of us will be judged before him. And it's not going to be, well, Lord, you know, Terry Mabry said this about that, and I thought that'd be okay. Well, I don't think the Lord is going to accept that. And so you have a responsibility. But you know, there are other reasons for examining Scriptures, not just to check the preacher out, not just check Paul out, but there are some great reasons. And I appreciated some of the remarks Brother Don said this morning from the 119th Psalm. And I want to take a few from those. The 119th Psalm, verse 27. We find there that the psalmist said, "Make me to understand the ways of thy precepts. So shall I meditate on thy wondrous works." And I think the two go together. You want to understand the way of God? Then it's a matter of meditating upon His wondrous works. Meditation indicates an examination, a thinking about and meditating upon, not just a cursory reading. There are people who say, I just can't understand the Word of God. I can't understand the Bible. Yeah, you can. Paul said you could. He said in Ephesians 3, verse 4, or 4, verse 3, there you go again. This mathematician can't get his numbers right. But he said, "Ye can perceive my understanding the mystery of Christ." And later in chapter 5, verse 17, I know I got that one right. But he gave a command. He said, "Be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So you can understand. And it takes a meditation and an examination of God's Word. And then in the 15th verse, well, excuse me, while we're there on that understanding, how about verse 99? I love that. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." We need to have the understanding that comes from God's Word. And then in verse 15, we find that the psalmist says, "I will meditate on thy testimonies, on thy precepts, and have respect unto thy word." You know, the reason so many do not respect God's Word is because they do not study. They do not examine. They do not spend time in the Word of God. And they have no respect for the Word of God. And when they have no respect for the Word of God, they have no respect for God. The need to examine. And then the next verse, verse 16. "I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word." And I thought about what Don said this morning I thought about that point when he referred to verse 11, I think it is. "Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You see, if we meditate upon His word, we will not forget His word. And who was it? Maybe last night, I believe it was. Someone talked about memorizing. How valuable that is. I encourage everyone to memorize, not just preachers. About the second or third year, you know, I learned my preaching watching others, and I saw that it seemed like men, their lessons, I could just grab hold of them more as they were quoting the Scripture. So I thought, well, I'll try to do that. And as I did, I learned how much things opened up to me, because as I was studying, oh, how about that passage? And, oh, how about that one, you know? I encourage you to memorize the Word of God. But then there is another reason that's not in the Psalms, that you need to examine the Scripture. You need to meditate upon this. And that's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. As God told Joshua, He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night." And now notice, here's the reason. "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And of course, I think he's talking about spiritually, his spiritual life. But it would take a meditation day and night, an examination of God's Word. And friends, we know that we too are to observe all of God's commands. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And if we want to make our way prosperous spiritually, we want to have good success spiritually, we need to examine God's Word. We need to meditate day and night upon it. We need to be like the Bereans, people who have a desire to learn, a longing to learn, an open mind, a mind that is open to the evidence. Why is it that we need to be like the Bereans? I ask a question. Do you want to be fruitful for God? I think of the parable that Jesus spoke of the soils, Luke chapter 8, and in verse 15. He said, and that on the good ground, the seed that falls on the good ground, he says here, and that on the good ground, those are such as in a good and honest heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and now then here's the key, and bring forth fruit with patience. That's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. He said, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud and giveth seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall do whatsoever I give it. Now let's make some final application. If we want to have fruit born in our lives, if we want to be like the Bereans, we need to have that longing, that zeal, that willingness to receive the Word of God for what it is, God's Word. And we need to examine the Scriptures daily. For those who are not children of God, if they have that kind of mind, if they are noble-minded like the Bereans, we read there in verse 12, many of them therefore believed, and one who has the noble mind of the Berean will be that kind of person, and they will believe, and they will become a child of God. And if there's anyone in this audience who is not, I challenge you, open your mind to God's Word and the evidence. I just begun a study with a man who became disgruntled with the Mormon faith. He was a high priest in the Mormon church. And as he described this, I don't know that much about the hierarchy of the Mormon church, but he had a lot of authority in the Mormon church. And he said, you keep talking about, as I was talking about the differences between the Bible and the Book of Mormon, you keep talking about the evidence of the Bible, he said, and that's where we're starting then. Because we were just talking about where we were going and how we were going to approach our study. He said, I want to see that evidence. He said, there's no evidence about the Book of Mormon. How can you convince me of the evidence of the Bible? And he has an open mind, it seems like. And that's what I would challenge you to do, is examine the evidence. Become a child of God. Being baptized into Christ. But not just if there's anyone here who is not a child of God. For all of us, we need to be that mind of readiness, examining the evidence. And I use the passage again, I believe, that was Don. I almost said, Don, why don't you just finish my lesson? And the two did go together so well. But I thought of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 14 that he referred to. For when by reason of the time ye ought to be teachers, how many brethren do we know like that? You have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. You need to be taught the ABCs. Shame on you. And he goes on and says that they do not partake the milk, or do not take of the meat. And he says, for everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. There is the reason that we, as children of God, need to continue to examine and have an open mind to the evidences of God's Word, because we need to be that kind of person to discern that which is good and evil and know the difference. And of course, as Peter summed up thoughts of his second epistle, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be like the Bereans. Thank you.